Welcome to That's the Ticket,
a travel podcast for people with itchy feet. My name is Renat.
And my name is Vanessa.
This podcast is all about practical tips and meaningful conversations.
We cover lots of topics, including but not limited to planning and social travel,
getting the most out of your trips and communicating,
travel tips, and more.
Thanks for joining us.
Hello, and welcome to That's the Ticket. My name is Vanessa, and as always, I'm here with Renat.
Hey, Vanessa and everyone. It's good to be here today.
Renat, I'm excited about our topic today.
Me too. It was very interesting for me to think about what we learned from travel when we prepared for this episode.
Yes. So over the years, we have learned a lot from travel. And in this episode, we thought it would be interesting to talk about some of the lessons that travel has taught us.
Yes, it was really interesting putting our thoughts into words. Mm-hmm. And we are talking today about only five things that we learned from travel. But I'm sure that many of our listeners have a lot to add to that. And even we can add more, because travel is life, just with different conditions than normal. And it allows us to make observations that we don't normally have in our normal life, and to experience things in a different way than we normally do.
Yeah, it was hard coming up with just five things.
Right, yeah.
I think all the experiences and lessons that you've learned in your life can really contribute to your travel experience and vice versa.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we have come up with a list of things to cover. And number one is to see the bubble that we live in better. Mm-hmm. See it from outside. Although I'll always be kind of inside the bubbles I went through in my life as well. Mm-hmm. But it makes it easier to see the bubble I was in and I'm still at when I travel. So I didn't hear the idea of living in a bubble for the first time when I traveled, but I could understand it much better by experiencing it through travel and by talking with people from different bubbles than mine. Yeah, so I think that's when you really learn that some things and ideas that are taken for granted in your bubble can be the opposite than ideas that are taken for granted in other bubbles, or some things that are on debate in other bubbles are not even in question in your bubble, or vice versa. Things like that.
Totally. Do you have a specific example?
Yeah, for sure. I have a lot of political examples, but I'll try not to get into politics here.
Okay.
But I'll try to give an example that is not very political, but it is cultural, though.
Okay.
So we were on a flight, me and Gil, my husband, and I think it was with Air Canada or something.
Okay.
When we heard on the airplane speaker, among the other instructions, something like, you might want to consider turning off your mobile phones. which in Canadian means, Vanessa, please help me here. What does it mean in Canadian?
Oh, that's a very Canadian way to say, please turn off your cell phones during the flight.
Right, yeah.
But it could also mean, if you aren't going to just use airplane mode, you might as well just turn your phone off or something like that. It's that polite Canadian beat around the bush way of making a request.
Right, yeah, I believe it just meant turn off your phones.
I mean, I should be clear. I'm not trying to be like insulting to my chosen home. It's just that in Canadian culture, people aren't always as direct as in other cultures, such as American or European cultures. And I think what you're going to tell us about coming up or not is something along those lines.
I think that I can see the beauty in both ways, both in being direct and both in being very polite, especially after visiting so many cultures. And I also see the advantages and disadvantages in each way, because I think both ways have their advantages. So anyway, we're not trying to make any judgments
yes.
about any of the cultures.
Yes.
And that's what actually also one thing that you can learn from the travel, to be less judgmental of other
that's a good
cultures.
One. We didn't put that one on our list.
Right, maybe we didn't.
Next time we talk about this topic, if we talk about it again.
Right, because like once you understand that it's not that your culture is the best culture or
yeah.
that another culture is the best culture,
yeah.
but it's all just cultures and things that people learned.
Yeah. Which I think we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Right. Yeah, we are. We are going to talk about it. Anyways, for us, it was like hearing a fly going next to our ears that we could just hand wave away.
It just
doesn't mean the same for us as it meant to whoever said it mm-hmm. or to any Canadian listening. Because for us, if you use the words might and if we want mm-hmm. and consider, we pretty much take it literally.
Yeah.
Because we very direct, we say things exactly as they are. So if you say you might, if you want and mm-hmm. you can consider,
yeah.
it means to us that it's not mandatory and it's a subject to our judgment, and if that's the case, then it's probably not extremely important.
Right.
So it's not because we're bad people that don't want to do what we're told to do.
No.
We just understand the meaning of it very differently mm-hmm. than what another person from a different culture will understand when they hear that. Mm-hmm. So anyway, since we've been to many flights, we turned off our phones regardless. I mean, it was absolutely had nothing to do with this instruction. It just we knew we were supposed to turn off our phones.
Right.
But I imagine a kid from my country that flies from the first time, and they'll probably just ignore it because it sounds so not important. Or maybe they'll just not understand what they're supposed to do. They'll
right.
just, it's just not something that goes next to your ear. It's
right,
not
right.
really. Yeah. And basically, if we were in an Israeli company and they'd want us to turn off the phone, they'll just say, turn off your phones now.
Right.
Now is the time to turn off your phones.
Right.
That's what they'll say.
Yeah.
They might add please because it's an official airline.
Right, 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 right.
That's how it goes.
That's so interesting. So just goes to show you that when traveling, you can really see how different cultures handle different situations.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah,
do
like
you have an example of being outside your bubble, Vanessa?
Yeah. When we were putting this list together, it made me think of when I went to Finland for a weekend to visit a friend. Mm-hmm. He's from Britain originally, but he's lived in Finland for many years now. And I was spending the summer in Germany. So I decided to go visit him for the weekend because flights in Europe are cheap. Right. And again, I'm not saying anything insulting or saying there's anything wrong with this or making any judgments. But I found the Finnish people I would meet just in a cafe or the grocery store, like uh-huh. the ones who would help me out behind the counter, were not very warm or friendly. Like it was mm-hmm. all business. And they were polite and they said please and thank you, but they just didn't right. want to chat or ask about your day or the weather or any of those niceties.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's very American.
Yeah.
When I moved to the States, and specifically to Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm.
Where I'm from.
Where you're from. I mean, because I think it's not necessarily like that in every place in the U.S.
Right.
Anyway, when we moved there, it was really delightful for me to have been asked about my day everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's not like that in most countries I've been to. I think most countries don't really, people don't just chat with you.
Could be.
On the grocery store and the post office and the bank and whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was really a pleasant experience for me.
Yeah. I mean, my parents were really drawn to Boulder for that same reason. My mom being German, we're used to people being cold at the grocery store, at the bank, at the post office.
Right.
So that's why they really liked Boulder too, or one reason. But when I was in Finland, I actually found it kind of refreshing because I didn't have to engage in small chit chat. And I don't mind that. But I find it kind of tiring sometimes. Like sometimes you just want to go to the grocery store and get it done and not have to ask how somebody's doing.
All right. You don't want to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
You want to go with your slippers. And
yeah, totally. Maybe not in the winter as it is right now. It's cold out, but yeah.
Maybe.
But when I was in Finland, I found like when you meet Finnish people, you get to know them, have a conversation with them and become friends with them. They're very nice and warm and welcoming. And of course, it could just be that the people I met in passing were like what I described, and it might not be everyone who works in those types of jobs, but like we can't paint everyone from a culture with the same brush, of course, but that's what I experienced. And in the US and often in Canada, people are actually trained when they're working at the grocery stores and other places to ask how your day is, to say have a nice day when you leave and stuff like that. So it was just different.
Yes, it's just a cultural thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that if the same people had been growing up in another country, most chances they'll behave like the other people in that country.
Yeah.
just because we are social creatures and we tend to copy those people around us.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say it wasn't really that different being in Finland than in Germany. Like I said, in Germany, people don't really want to chat in the grocery store line either. But for some reason, I found it very obvious in Finland. So that was just my experience.
You know, for me, since I came in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
From Israel to the US and Canada. I see it the other way around. I see it very obvious that in America, people behave like that in grocery stores. Because I've been to around 30 countries or something like that. And it's very unique to America, I think, to ask about your day everywhere you go. And I think it's really beautiful.
Okay.
But again, I can see the beauty in both ways and the disadvantages and advantages in both ways. And I know that some people will say that Americans will ask you, how are you, even if they really don't care how are you and they just work in a store that they're supposed to do that. So it all depends how you look at it. I find it very pleasant. And I think that one thing that is important to understand as a traveler is that there is no right way and wrong way. And it's not that the way that things are done in your own culture or your own country is the best way and others are terrible or something. It's just, this is how it works here, this is how it works there, and
I totally agree. And I know there are people also who say, well, my culture does it this way and I hate it, but other cultures do it this way and I love it. So exactly, like, totally agree. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, I think just be less judgmental, both towards other cultures and towards your own culture. I think that people have the tendency to think that they're the best and their way is the right way. But it's not like that. Any way that you choose has its own pluses. Mm-hmm. And all of us are humans underneath our cultures. The culture is just the behavior we adopted when we grew up.
Yes.
But if we had grown up in another culture, we'd have adopted a different behavior. And like you say, when you got to know those people, you realized how nice and warm they are. Yeah. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All right, let's go on to number two. So number two on our list is go along with anything that happens because you can't always control everything that happens.
Right, yeah.
I really like this one. You remember the conversation we had with Alyssa Green back in episode 8, right?
Of course, yeah. Alyssa Green is a therapist and we talked with her about traveling according to your core values.
Yeah, and she had a great story. She describes an experience where she was doing her first international flight alone, mm-hmm. and she had a layover in France and had to transfer to another airport. And she wasn't running late, but she had a small window of time to transfer, and she said to herself, you know what? There's nothing I can do to make this go any faster. And she was able to look back at her experience and realize she actually handled it really well. She used her instincts and realized she had stayed pretty calm during the experience. Mm-hmm. So it actually went way better than it could have if she had lost her cool.
Right. Yeah. And that was such a great example of going with the flow. She could really navigate the situation, and it helped her understand later that she is capable to deal with such situations.
Yeah.
And it happens all the time when you travel. Changes in weather that mess up with your plans, or changes or changes in transportation.
Yeah.
I actually also have a story with running through the airport to catch a flight. But in my case, I missed the flight together with my husband. So we were late to the check-in by 15 minutes, or we came 15 minutes before the flight took off or something like that. But they didn't let us get on the flight.
Okay.
So here the thing was to try to find another flight quickly and to arrange another hotel. And we did that. And going with the flow here was to enjoy spending another day in Vienna and actually look at it as a gift because we got another day for our vacation. Right. It did cost us, though, because we needed to pay for another flight and another night in the hotel.
Right.
But I always say that I prefer to miss the flight back home than to miss the flight on my way to a vacation.
Yes, definitely. And I've had situations like that as well. Mm-hmm. I missed a flight and had to pay for a new one, but it also gave me another day with my friends that I was visiting.
Oh, nice.
And it did cost me more too because I had to pay a fee or something, but oh well. And I also have a bit of a different perspective about this topic, too. Mm-hmm. I'm very open about this, but I have clinical anxiety and depression. And I think I will probably be working on how to accept that I can't always control everything for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm certainly not perfect. But as I have gotten better about it, I think when I do really try to just let go and go with the flow, as you said, and accept that I can't control everything, things tend to go a lot smoother. And really trusting that I will be able to handle whatever comes my way and just changing my mindset around that is super helpful. Mm-hmm. And I think that does come from being flexible when traveling because you have to be ready for circumstances to change very quickly. So,
Yeah, I'm sorry you have to deal with anxiety. I think it's actually something that a lot of people that also don't have anxiety have to deal with because we all love to be in control of our lives or at least to have the illusion that we control our lives, but none of us really can do it. But I think that travel is the best place to practice that mindset because usually you are more flexible when you travel because you're out of your normal life. So you have less things that you have to worry about, less things that you have to do. So you can be more flexible. And personally, I'm also much more relaxed when I travel because I don't have to go to work and I don't have to do any errands. And yeah, so it's a great opportunity to not stress about changes in your plans. Just make the most out of every situation. Mm-hmm. And even like most times, it's even more than just making the most out of it. It's making it a fun new adventure. That's how I try to look at it. And it's like, let's see how we can have fun in this new situation.
I like that.
All right. Ready for number three?
Let's do it.
Yes. So number three is the kindness of strangers.
Yes, this is a good one. Mm-hmm. And so I truly think the majority of people are good. Mm-hmm. And I know people who have been so skeptical and like mistrusting. I don't know if that's really a word, but mistrusting of people when they're traveling, mm-hmm. even the locals, like they think everybody's out there to get something from them or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's not how I see the world. Mm-hmm. I have met so many kind people while traveling. And a small example that I wrote down is when I had an overnight layover in Riga, Latvia. Uh-huh. And I booked a room at a hostel. Mm-hmm. And I had to take a city bus from the airport to the hostel. And at the airport, they told me which bus to take and where to catch the bus. And everybody spoke English there, so that helped. Uh-huh. But on the city buses there, at least back then in 2008, mm-hmm. they had a person on the bus who would collect your money for your bus ticket, like separate from the driver. And I don't speak any Latvian. Mm-hmm. And the woman who was taking the change on the bus didn't speak any English or German, I should say, because uh-huh. I also speak German. Mm-hmm. But she was able to help me figure out how much it was to get on the bus without speaking each other's languages. And she also pointed out my stop for the hostel because I had written out the name of the street and hostel and showed it to her. So she was super helpful and kind in that way. And yeah.
That's really nice to meet the kindness of strangers when you travel.
Yeah.
And I think, so it's not that I think that people are all good.
Right.
I think people are complicated.
Yes.
They can be good and not so good at the same time.
Yeah.
But specifically in travel is when I was able, because I'm also a lot of times skeptical towards people and what are the interests behind what they do.
Yeah.
But specifically in travel, and that's why I say that travel had taught me that, mm-hmm. is when I was able to see that sometimes people are just good with no hidden interest behind it, mm-hmm. because people on your way can help you sometimes, even if they're not trying to sell you something or to hit on you or something. And and it's easier to see it in travel because you're strangers, and one minute they can help you or you can help them.
Yeah.
And the next minute, they're on their way without asking for anything in return.
Yeah.
So it makes it very clear that there was no hidden intention there.
Yeah.
In your normal life, you usually meet the same people again and again, right?
Yeah. I mean, I have had my share of experiences of people doing something only to try to sell me something or to get something in return or because they're hitting on me.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But thankfully, those have been few and far between, especially when traveling.
Yeah, yeah, sure. It does happen a lot. Yeah. It's easy to see that side of things. But it's nice to see that there are also the other side.
Yes.
Of people that are just kind and good.
Yep,
to you.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So number four on our list is leaving only footsteps. And mm-hmm. this is something I thought of because there's a phrase that I've heard from lots of people, which is take only memories, leave only footsteps. And who knows who mm-hmm. said that first in the world, but it's the idea of being respectful of the places and the people you visit. So it could be anything from camping and not leaving behind garbage mm-hmm. or going to a new country and being respectful of the locals and their land, their traditions, their food and everything.
Right.
So no one likes a tourist who's rude or arrogant or ignorant. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or just a person who is rude or arrogant or ignorant.
Totally, yes. But when you're traveling, you know, even just saying please and thank you can go a long way. Doing a little bit of research before you go anywhere, learning some key phrases in the local language, which is something we talked about on our episode with Ray Blakeney.
Right.
All of those things will make you a more respectful traveler. And when you have a situation that is stressful, remembering that you are dealing with other humans, mm-hmm. and we really aren't that different from one another.
Right.
And remembering to keep your cool as much as possible when trying to find a solution to the problem you're in.
Right. I agree with everything you said. Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add to that.
All right. Awesome.
Okay.
I think if you can remember this when you're traveling, it'll spill into other parts of your life, mm-hmm. and, you know, dealing with other people around you just in everyday life.
Right. Yeah. And yeah. Point number five is curiosity will teach you so much about the world. If you keep an open mind and are curious about the world, you will learn so much while you travel.
Yeah. And I mean, I can list a whole bunch of things right now. Mm-hmm. Geography, history, language, communication, even practical things like budgeting, mm-hmm. or maybe your photography skills will get better, like all sorts of things.
Yeah, right. You can learn a lot of new things when you travel. And I'm curious mostly about what people think in other countries, mm. and how they see things. What are some of their ideas? Mm. Because I always like to open my mind to different perspectives, mm-hmm. as I think we talked a lot already in this podcast.
Yeah.
But people from the same country, a lot of times, have the same ideas that somehow spread over the country.
Yeah.
And hearing someone from a different place and the way they see things that you're used to look at in a certain way can always open your mind more.
Yeah.
And maybe open your eyes to things you haven't saw before. Mm-hmm. So I think it can be really fascinating. And I try to be they're more as a listener than as someone that tries to share their own opinions. Though I also do that sometimes.
Sure.
Because that's how ideas spread around the world, right?
Absolutely. And curiosity will help us in our communication with others and will teach us so much about ourselves and others, just like you said. Mm-hmm. And I've realized I'm not a very shy person, mm-hmm. because if I want to know information, I'll ask for it. And I'm usually not scared to do it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I went on a tour of a tequila distillery in Mexico. And my husband and I were the only ones asking a lot of questions because we're like, okay, we paid for this. We're going to get the information we came here for. We're going to have fun. Mm-hmm. And we did that in other situations in Mexico, too. And we learned so much about the culture and the people. Mm-hmm. And on that same tour, our guide was a woman who was so knowledgeable about the area we were in. Mm-hmm. And because she had gone to all the locations we were seeing so many times, she would sit alone while we looked at the locations. Uh-huh. So sometimes when my husband and I were done exploring, we'd sit with her and just ask her about herself and, you know, about the local history. And mm-hmm. we'd ask her to clarify something she had mentioned on the bus and stuff like that. And it was just so wonderful to have that time with someone who was so knowledgeable.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And we even learned that she was redecorating and renovating her apartment, mm-hmm. and what colors she was thinking about using. Uh-huh. So that was really neat. And it wouldn't have happened if we had just stayed on our own and kept quiet.
Yeah. I think it's so good of you that you took the time to talk with her, and it's always interesting to learn about things from people from other countries. I bet that even the colors she picked were different than what people you know in Canada or the US would have picked. Well, maybe.
Actually, you are totally right. No, you're totally right, because mm-hmm. she told us that she wanted to make it as bright as possible. And she said, I want to put yellow and pink and green. And we were talking about how in Canada, not many people do that.
Right.
So that was an interesting thing to learn about Mexico. She said, oh, yeah, you know, we decorate our houses in lots of colors. And
yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's also, it has some, you know, it's decoration. It may be a physical thing, but the space we live in does affect a lot the way we feel while we're in the space.
Totally.
So it could be something that can open your mind to use more bright colors in your place and maybe have a happier feeling in your home.
Yeah.
And so we live in such a fascinating age when products and ideas and even things like decoration styles are exchanged so easily between countries.
Yeah.
But there is still a uniqueness to every country.
Yeah.
And I wonder how things will be, say, like 1,000 years from now. Maybe things will look more similar in every country.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a bad thing, but it might happen because exchange of things will become more and more easier, as it already start being today with the World Wide Web. I mean, not start, but I think it's just the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with the World Wide Web and with modern transportation, everything is exchanged much more easily. And it wasn't like that 1,000 years ago. So I think 1,000 years from now, it could be very similar to live anywhere on the planet, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You're making me think of IKEA, which is actually, I call it IKEA because that's the German way of saying it.
Right.
And I think the Swedish way of saying it too. But
so it's the Israeli way.
IKEA, yeah. It reminds me of that because you can get the same IKEA bed in Israel that you can in Canada, that you can in Germany. At the same time, though, they actually have products in the different local places that are more geared towards the people who live in those places as well. So they have a little bit of a local flavor, but mostly it's like all the same.
Yeah, it's mostly all the same. I've been both in Israel and in the US and in Canada in IKEA, and it's just the same. There's no really noticeable different.
Yeah.
It's the same with McDonald's. You know, you have branches all over the world, and they do try to have something unique in every country. But usually what you do when you go to McDonald's is eat their burger, which is pretty much the same in every place.
Yeah. Very, very true. Yeah, but you're right. In 1,000 years, who knows what it'll look like?
Right. Yeah.
Well, that's our list of 5 things we've learned from travel, and I'm sure we could have added so many more things to this list, so maybe we'll explore that further in the future, but that's it for now. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening, and Renat, do you want to tell our listeners about our holiday plans?
Yes, we are just taking a release break over the holidays. So we'll see you back here after the holidays. And thank you so much for joining us today.
We would love to hear your thoughts on the podcast. You can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. We like to know who's on the other side of the microphone.
You can follow us at That's the Ticket Pod on Facebook and Instagram and at Ticket Pod on Twitter.
You can also email us directly at thatsthetticketpod@gmail.com. And please don't forget to check out our website, thatsthetticketpod.com.
Thank you for joining us.